All right, the court is in session on the request under 80KT0619 in regard to the adoption of rules governing informal family law trials. I'm going to turn this matter over to Justice Lee, who was working with Judge Gordon down south on this. So, Justice Lee.
Thanks, Chief. So we're here on the public hearing to adopt the 80KT619 as permanent after having run a pilot program for a year. We did get some information and stats back, primarily from the 8th District, Judicial District, and also some of the rurals. By all metrics, it does seem to have been a successful program, meeting its design goals to allow self-represented parties or allowing judges in cases where there are self-represented parties in district court, where approximately 70% of the contested domestic relations matters involve two self-represented litigants, allowing them to assist the parties in a more natural and efficient way, and assisting the parties in articulating their positions, being heard, navigating through what would otherwise be really difficult and convoluted evidentiary issues. With that, I'd like to extend my gratitude to the whole working committee. Judge Dixie Grossman in the 2nd. We had Judge Charles Hoskin in the 8th. We had Judge Todd Young. And special thanks to Judge Gregory Gordon, who kind of spearheaded this effort. And with that, I would, if Judge Gordon is down there, I'm sorry I can't see the audience either, but I would turn the floor over to Judge Gordon to make any remarks that he would like to make regarding the committee's work and about the adoption of this 80KT as a permanent rule.
Thank you, Justice Lee. And Judge Gordon, we can see you now. So thank you for joining us today. And please go ahead.
Thank you. And good afternoon, Chief Justice Herndon and other esteemed members of the Supreme Court. I am Judge Gregory Gordon, District Court Judge in the 8th Judicial District Court Family Division. I respectfully submit to you that over the course of the past year, we have demonstrated that the informal family law trial program, District Court Rule 27, is effective. It has received widespread support and acclaim, and most importantly, it is serving the public in the precise way intended, namely improving procedural justice for self-represented litigants. Let me begin by sharing with you a statement put out by the National Center for State Courts about a week ago on their social media platforms, which stated as follows, and I'm quoting, "It's not the people, it's the process. When people report frustration after interacting with courts, it's usually directed towards complex procedures and legal jargon, not court staff performance. Our surveys show most court users view judges and staff as hardworking and empathetic. Improving public trust starts with clear, accessible processes that help people navigate the court system." End quote. Simplifying complex procedures is what we set out to do. And after a year of watching this program in action, I can tell you we have achieved our goal. When you approved informal trials as a pilot 1 year ago and requested an interim report detailing its progresses and any concerns, I questioned how we would measure success. Not intended to reduce caseloads or expedite dispositions, the aim was to make our courts more user-friendly, more accessible, and to improve public trust and satisfaction in the process. Similar to what this court has recognized with the implementation of fast-track appellate rules, streamlining and simplifying process, when appropriate, serves an important public function. I am pleased to report today the fact that this program is hitting on all cylinders. As detailed in our interim report, during the first 7 months, 19 of my colleagues in the 8th Judicial District, in addition to myself, conducted 103 informal family law trials. Nearly the entire family court bench in the South, 20 different judges have embraced and supported the program and recognized its value. Over the course of the year, I can report to you that I have not received any negative feedback, no areas needing improvement or clarification, which is not surprising given the demonstrated success this program has already had in other jurisdictions, such as Oregon and several other states. Our 1 year of quality testing has proven the program is working as intended and serving its critical function. When speaking about this program, I always like to emphasize, informal does not mean inferior. We are changing the process of the trial only, not the substance of the law or how the law is applied. Litigants benefit from a process that is more comprehensible and that can do the same job in ways everyone can understand and feel good about. The hallmarks of fairness associated with cross-examination, strict adherence to rules of evidence, these are illusory when the parties are unfamiliar with and do not comprehend how those protections apply. I'm suggesting today that you end the pilot period and adopt District Court Rule 27 on a permanent basis. The one recommended change you are being asked to consider is to expand the program to include adult and minor guardianship cases pursuant to NRS Chapter 159 and 159A. As you may know, we have four judges in the eighth who preside over split dockets. That's 50% domestic and 50% guardianship. All four of those judges have implemented informal trials on the domestic side of their dockets, and some have expressed a desire to be able to apply the same rule to their guardianship cases when applicable and appropriate. And I recognize that there, you know, it will be a small percentage of those cases that an informal trial will be a possible option. Before I close, I want to acknowledge the efforts of the Family Law Subcommittee of the Judicial Council of the State of Nevada. I want to acknowledge Stephanie McDonald from the Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada, my colleagues in the South who have embraced this program fully, and of course, Justice Patricia Lee, who has helped champion the program from the start. Thank you for your consideration. Unless you have any questions, I appreciate your time and attention.
Any questions?
Can I just
if I could ask Judge Gordon, well, first off, let me say this. I think I speak for the entirety of the court when I say that we are very happy and very excited about moving this forward. When you all first brought it to us, it was an incredibly creative idea and responsive to the concerns of the public and serving those people that come into court every day down in family court, and doing so in a way that would, as you say, simplify that process for them to make it much more understandable. Speaking for myself, looking forward to the end of the pilot program, I don't know that I expected anything greatly objective about metrics. It was trust placed in people like yourself to come back and just say, what's happening? Boots on the ground in the courts. How are people reacting to this? How is it making things better? But I think the report that I read, there's a lot of objective metrics in there as well, which is great to see. So you all have done a tremendous job. So thank you very much for that. My question is, in your mind, what, if any, changes would we need to make, whether it's Rule 27 or anything else, to adopt this into the guardianship arena as well?
I think the simple change that needs to be made is simply looking at the subsection 1, which is the language defining applicability, and it's a simple addition of those two chapters to that subsection. In other words, just expanding subsection 1 to include 159 and 159A. Okay. And then, of course, as always, the court, it's in the court's discretion. The parties have to always agree. And so, it would only be in the appropriate cases that an informal trial would be available. But from what I understand from our guardianship judges, there could be a beneficial application there in those dockets.
And then secondary to that, would it be your recommendation that the guardianship portion of the court's order also do that as a pilot program and then allow a report back just on that aspect? Or is it your belief that we could adopt that with permanency today, much like we are going to do maybe with the pre-existing rule?
I don't see any need for a pilot study of that because the process has, like I said, has been in place in the other case types. It's been working. It's been proven. Over the course of the year, we've had the opportunity to see if there were any places that needed to be fine-tuned or changed, but we haven't really seen any. So okay. I think it'll extend well into the other case types.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much again for everything you've done over the last year and for coming and giving us this briefing today as well.
Yeah. Thank you all so much.
We do not have anybody here in Carson City. Is there anybody on the phone that wishes to make any comment?
We're not
on that. Okay. Is there anybody in Las Vegas? Again, we're kind of limited to what we can see that wishes to make any public comment.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Sternberg. I was born and raised in Las Vegas, Nevada. I went to Clark High School.
Let me interrupt you for... I'm sorry, sir. Could you spell your last name for us, please?
Sternberg. S-T-E-R-N as in November, B as in boy, E-R-G.
All right. Thank you, sir. You can go ahead.
You're welcome. So I'm a military veteran with several honorable discharges. I went to Clark High School. I now run the YouTube channel, At Father in Exile, where I am documenting the complete dysfunction of the Nevada and California judiciaries. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, specifically my history with my family law case and what's been going on and how it might apply to this topic at hand. So in 2019, my children were abducted by their ex from Las Vegas and taken to California. I immediately filed a case here in the family court in Clark County, which was before Judge Rhonda Forsberg. She ceded jurisdiction to California based on ex parte frauds. That video is up on my YouTube channel. In 2021, after more ex parte frauds in the California family court, Nevada Attorney General Aaron Ford falsely arrested me on a California warrant that he knew had been obtained by fraud. My children were seized. I have never seen them since. It's been over 4 years. I've never had any kind of trial whatsoever, no due process rights. After I was arrested on this foreign warrant, I went through the Clark County or the Las Vegas Justice Court extradition court hearing where they don't follow any rules of due process or constitutional rights whatsoever. Because I refused to waive extradition, Judge Eric Goodman would not let me out on bail. And so you've created a situation here in Las Vegas where you have two tracks. If you're a Nevada citizen and you're arrested on Nevada charges, you get mandatory bail except for a few extenuating circumstances or extreme violations. But if you're a Nevada citizen and you're arrested on a foreign warrant, you get no bail. That's their perspective here. I've since sued Judge Eric Goodman in federal court, and he was not able to escape. And I'm going to tell you about more about that in a second. In order to keep me in jail for 2 weeks, the district attorney had to file a criminal complaint. So Deputy DA Caroline Morales filed a false sworn criminal complaint against me, alleging that I fled from justice from the state of California. I've sued her in federal court, too. She's lost her immunity. Steve Wolfson has lost his immunity. Where's the state bar? The evidence is published on my Substack, At Father in Exile. Where is the state bar? They're absent and they're impeding as usual, which is why I've sued them in federal court too. And I'm running out of time, so I want to make sure you know about that. The state bar, specifically Dan Hooge or Dan Hoogie, or however he says his name, and the private attorney that they're using for they're paying taxpayer resources to defend my lawsuit, have both been running around claiming that they are a private entity and not under the jurisdiction of the Nevada Supreme Court. Justices, you need to look into that. They need to be fired immediately. They were so incompetent that they defaulted on my federal lawsuit. So I'm out of time, but I would definitely love the opportunity to talk to your staff about what's been going on and the complete and total dysfunction in the Nevada judiciary. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Sternberg, thank you for coming today. I appreciate it. Are there any other members of the public in Las Vegas that wish to make comment? Does not appear so. Okay.